Top, my message this morning is, what's in your hand? What is in your hand? What is in your hand? God has placed something in your hand. Amen. So let's pray before I start the word. And I pray this word just blesses you. I pray it just invigorates you. I pray it activates something in your spirit to be able to fulfill the call, the purpose of God, and fulfill what He has you to do for His kingdom. Amen. Father, we just thank You for the power of Your word this morning. We say, Lord, let us be able to see what You've placed in our hands, that God, we can be them men and them women, Father, that are kingdom builders. Ones, Father, my God, that want to see Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, my God, I thank You that You've decreed that we are the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. But God, we have victory only in one person. His name is Jesus Christ. We have the victory, the power, and the authority of the Spirit of God. And Father, I thank You this morning. Lord, where all this confusion is reigning, all this these dynamics, Father, of confusion and these dynamics of fear that the world is set in. God, as the author and the finisher of my faith, knowing that You are not the author of confusion, knowing, my God, that You will work out a way that Your church would be glorified, Your body, Father, would be glorified, and You shall be revealed in the midst of it for the glory of Your name. I thank You, God, in these times that we're living in. Father, people, Father, would have their hearts, my God, ignited in the things of God. Lord, that they would be set like flint towards the purpose of the King. That, God, they would lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would see in this hour, Lord, many plucked from that valley of indecision. Many plucked, Father, into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. I just want to tell you this morning, God never leaves you empty-handed in anything that He's designed you to fulfill. His quest is for you to be sent forth in kingdom purpose, and every follower is on a journey or a path to bring forth kingdom life and power on this earth. So it is to bear witness of the resurrected Christ, and that this kingdom will come and His will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who wants that? Who wants His kingdom to come? Who wants His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Who wants to know that God has a plan for your life, a purpose for my life, to build something in the kingdom of God with the power of His Spirit and leave something on earth that represents heaven? In Exodus, God was preparing a man called Moses who delivers God's covenant people, the Hebrews, into the promised land. He swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is not slack concerning His promises. And He will bring His covenant people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, the natural Hebrews, the natural Israelites, out of their Egypt to fulfill and to hold on to the purpose and the destiny of God and the promised land that He wants them to bring it in. He will deliver them. He will call them out of their Egypt. And as much as He's calling out the natural Israel into the purposes and the promises of God, He's also calling out the spiritual Israel, those who are grafted in, those who have been joined in with them, so that we can be part of what God is doing. And the call to the spiritual Israel is to come out of them. Come out from among them, He's saying. Come out from among them. Come out from where the world is. Come out from their way of thinking. Come out from their way of doing. Come out from among them. So God is preparing a people to be separated, to live a consecrated life, to live a lifestyle consecrated unto God, a lifestyle that bears witness of God, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk, because faith without works is dead. I'm not talking about works that prove that you're a Christian. I'm talking about the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that shows there's a difference between His people and the people that are lost. Amen? You'll find that in John 17, verse 14 to 16. But turn in your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. It says this, Exodus 4, verse 1 to 5. Here's our key scripture, Exodus 4, verse 1 to 5. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, Moses had a problem with supposing. Moses had an issue because fear always makes me want to think about the problems, the consequences, or the circumstances that could happen. But I want to tell you, people of faith have to get past their suppose. People of faith have got to get past their point of resistance and push through in faith. They're saying, God, if you've called me, I suppose all this can happen, but if you've called me, I've got to supersede and come past my suppose in life. The Lord has not appeared. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. Verse 2. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? He said, a rod. Didn't God know what was in his hand? Of course God knew what was in his hand. But he was asking the question to Moses, what is that in your hand? He said it was a rod. He said, cast it to the ground in verse 3. So he cast it to the ground and it became a serpent. Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand, take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. They said that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. God did a miracle with what Moses held in his hand. I want to tell you this morning, God has given something in your hand. God has given you something. God will never ask you to do something without giving you the something to do it. You have something in your hand. When God asks you to move into or come out of something, he never leaves you empty-handed. Can I have an amen? I can hear it now from Hillary's. I can hear it now from up north. I can hear it now from down. I can hear the amens. God never asks you to move into or come out of something. He will never leave you empty-handed, but what you have already have is enough with God's anointing on it. Whatever you've got in your hand, it's enough with God's anointing on it to bring the command of the Lord to fulfillment in your life. Moses had a stick, a rod, a stick, shepherd's hook, stick. But an anointed stick can bring deliverance. An anointed stick, anointed by the Lord, can bring deliverance. The same stick could change from something dead to something alive. The same stick changed from a plant to an animal. The same stick went from an animal back to a plant. And with power and authority. Hold on, this stick changed from a piece of wood into something living. This stick changed state. And all of a sudden, it was thrust down in the midst of Pharaoh and his cohorts and all the soothsayers and all the people that did spells and the warlocks and the witches. He threw the stick down. And all them, they threw their stick down. They threw their scepters down. And all of a sudden, God's stick, Moses' stick, God's stick, ate up every other serpent because God was showing something. You see, when Pharaoh had his scepter, the Pharaoh's scepter had the head of a snake on it. Had the head of a snake. And what God proved there was, there is no other greater power than his power. He ate and he destroyed the power, the authority, which the scepter speaks of, the power and the authority of all the others. God was showing himself that he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. No matter what any other devil, no matter what other Pharaoh of life is around me or in the world, it will have to bow its knee. It will be devoured by the authority and the anointing of God. It will come into submission to the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. This stick, this power, this authority was given in Moses' hands. Glory to God. It says in Ezekiel 4 verse 20, it was called the rod of God. All of a sudden, no longer is it Moses' stick. And now it's called the rod of God. This rod, this power, this authority was placed in his hands. He used it to do the signs and the wonders. He used it to bring deliverance to a nation. He used it to point the way. He used it to bring water out of a rock. Hallelujah. God never, ever will leave you empty-handed. David and his Goliath. Before he slayed his Goliath, he had to go and get some stones. God had to place something in his hands. Hallelujah. Samson, when he destroyed 1,000 Philistines. He picked up the jawbone of an ass. Hear me, God will give you something in your hand. Something in your hand that is anointed. Something in your hand that will see your enemy come tumbling down. Glory to God. God, I want to say this right prophetically right now. Every born-again believer has been given something in their hand. If you're filled with the Spirit, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given something in your hand. Glory. So the pharaohs of this world, and hear me, there is many pharaohs in this land, will come tumbling down. It will release the captive. It will lead a people out of bondage into freedom. It will release a people out of bondage into liberty. Glory to God. That's why you've been given something in your hand. God will never, ever leave me empty-handed. Isaiah 14 and 5 says this, the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepters of the rulers. The Lord has broken. The Lord has broken. Hear me. I don't care what level they are. I don't care how powerful they might sound. I don't care how powerful they might be. I'm telling you, King of Kings, he's the King of Kings. Kings will bow their knee. He's the Lord of Lords. Lords will bow their knee. No matter what it is, they will bow their knee because he is all-powerful. He is almighty. He is called God Almighty. Scepter speaks of authority, symbol of power. God has broken the power and the authority of the wicked one and the scepter of the one who once ruled over me. Hear me. He delivered me from the kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of his marvelous light. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Moses was given a rod. Moses was given a rod. This rod represented the power and the authority. And in fact, it was called the rod of God. You've been given something. Every born-again believer, every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd rather say, every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ has been given something. You've been given something to fulfill what God has placed on your life. For the kingdom building, for the kingdom revealing, God has given you something to show forth Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? Not your might, not my might, but his might. There is power in his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the storms, against the methods, against the ways of the enemy trying to pull you down. Ways that he tries to bring division, ways that he tries to bring manipulation into the house of God, ways that he tries to bring offense, ways that he tries to bring hurt and pain. You've got to be strong in this hour like never before, knowing that for just like Jesus knew, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest. You've been designed in this hour to bring forth kingdom. You've been designed in this hour to bring forth kingdom authority and kingdom power. You've been designed for such a time as this. Glory to God. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, nor against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You may be able to withstand in the evil day. There is an evil day and there is a good day. There is two types of day, one of light and one of dark. Hallelujah. And God is saying, get ready to receive the power to be able to withstand. You will need what is in your hand to do what you need to do. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, to poison people's minds, to poison people's way of thinking, the fiery darts, to cause you to cause isolation, to cause division, the fiery darts. Above all, take the shield of faith. Not saying you've got faith in faith, but faith in God. Faith in God that God is able. Faith in God that he has all power. Faith in God that he is the deliverer. Faith in God. I will just recollect something to you right now. When the children of Israel found themselves in a place of a gross despair, huge problem, huge issues in their heart, gross despair against what was happening with them with the bricks and the straw. Great discouragement fell upon them. God didn't question or talk to the children of Israel. He never said, why didn't they believe? What's wrong with them? He never mentioned that, because sometimes the pain of what they're going through is too great to communicate the promises of God. Straight away, he turned to Moses and he says, go to Pharaoh. God was ministering to the problem. God was ministering to the source of the problem. God was going to counteract the source of the problem so he could deliver his people. Hallelujah. And God wants you to come to the source of the problem. You're crazy to try and fight people. People will be up. People will be down. People will agree. People will disagree. You're not fighting flesh and blood. You've got to get to the source or the root of the problem. Jesus told Moses, go to Pharaoh. He didn't talk about the issues of the pain in their heart. He didn't talk about what they were going through. He said, get to the source. Get them delivered from the source and they can get free. Hallelujah. That's what was in his hand. That was the whole purpose of what was in his hand. Every time he had to go to Pharaoh, somewhere, somehow, he used the rod. Glory to God. I've lost my space. Chapter 6. Take the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Take it on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you and I have been given something in our hand, and it's called the sword of the Spirit. It resides in me. That which has been given resides in me. It resides in my heart. It resides in my spirit man. It's called the Spirit of God. An anointed sword represents truth and power, and it's called the word of God. I want to tell you, this spirit, this sword is the word of God. It's anointed with power and authority. Amen. And it's been given into your hand. It's been given into my hand. Notice it's called the sword of the Spirit. It's called the sword of the Spirit. A sword is deadly, a deadly weapon. A sword is an offensive weapon. It's a sword of the Spirit, not just a spiritual sword. I want to change our thinking. It's not just a spiritual sword. It is a sword of the Spirit that belongs to the third person of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who resides within each one of us. When we are in battle, whether in the soul or the flesh, he uses it to bring truth into my situation, bring truth into my soul, bring truth into my circumstance to make me choose rightly and do justly. It causes truth to arise in my spirit. The Bible says he'll bring all things back to my remembrance. He'll cause the word that I've been reading, the word that's been imparted and implanted in my spirit, he'll cause it to be stirred so he will divide soul and spirit. He'll divide flesh, bone and marrow. He'll cause me to go to the life source instead of fulfilling the lust of my flesh. It's the Lord that brings the conviction. It's the Lord that causes me to walk a lifestyle of consecration. It's the Lord that when I want to do something my flesh is craving for, all of a sudden I hear the no. All of a sudden I'll say, don't do that. All of a sudden I'll hear, don't touch that. All of a sudden, you're better than that. That's the Holy Ghost sword that he's wielding in my spirit, man, saying, don't do it. Bring a demarcation between soul and spirit. Hallelujah. So when you're in the fight, the Lord is battle is fighting for you. The battle is mine, says the Lord. There's something provoked within me by the Holy Ghost. He's yielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth in my spirit man, to bring a separation from that to a separation to the call of God. Are you with me? The sword of truth in his hand divides soul and spirit, bone and marrow, even my thoughts and intents. Only by the yielding of the sword of the Spirit can I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, instructing us in all truth. He also allows us to usurp its power of the sword of the Spirit, its power, through speech, speaking, prophesying, decreeing and declaring, able to pull down strongholds, setting the captives free, establishing kingdom authority in the heavenly realm. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost, it's his sword living inside of me that brings a line, a plumb line in my life. His truth will make me free. His truth will cause a stirring in my spirit to not touch or to do or not do. It's the Holy Spirit that will cause me to be willing his way. Amen. And then he gives me the privilege. Hear me, and it's a privilege to use the sword of the Holy Ghost, the sword of the Spirit, to speak out words of life, to speak out words of deliverance, to speak out ways of truth to people, to see people delivered from their Egyptian life. Hear me, I believe God is starting to stir up the spirit of truth within every born-again believer. And he's saying, hey, no more can you play games. No more can you just do what you want to do. No more can you just have happy, clappy times and then be in sin 1 minute and walk in church the other minute, singing your hallelujahs and amen. God wants a consecrated people to himself. The dilemma is a lot of people aren't reading their Bible anymore. So their sword has become dull. They are hard to hear. It's not the sword's fault. It's the dullness of the ear. It's not the sword's fault that people want to fulfill their flesh. What's happened is they've stopped allowing reading their word to bring consecration to their lives and conviction to their soul. In other words, they're now listening to another voice and they're allowing themselves to be led away in the things that they shouldn't be led in. But God's saying, will you sharpen your sword? Will you find it afresh? Will you do what I want you to do? Choose you this day. Glory to God. Hebrews 4 and 12 says this. It says it's a living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The whole work of the sword of the Spirit, the whole work of the Spirit of truth in my life, which the sword of the Spirit is truth, the Word of God, is to bring division in my soul to the things of God. That I refuse through the conviction of the Word to not touch, not do, not speak, not act the way I was acting before I knew Jesus. Amen. God has given you an anointed sword that is capable of destroying the works of darkness, disempowering spiritual pharaohs of this world. You've been given something in your hand. You've been given something in your hand to bring deliverance to the captive, to bring deliverance to the oppressed, to bring deliverance to the broken, to bring deliverance to the hurting. And why a lot of saints stop in their progression of kingdom living? Why do they stop establishing the kingdom? Is this because they lose the use of what was in their hand, or the edge has grown dull and blunt? It's less effective in their life. My Bible says that they become dull of hearing. It becomes less effective in their life because they're not renewing. They're not resharpening themselves. They're not positioning themselves in a place for the Spirit to do what he needs to do in my life. It becomes harder to yield. It becomes harder to bow the knee because of the dullness of my hearing. I lose my edge. I lose my edge in the things of the Spirit. I can lose my edge. Hear me, Christians, you can lose your edge. You can lose your edge in the things of the Spirit. Because if I don't fill myself up, if I don't keep sharpening the sword of the Spirit by allowing the Spirit to bring consecration and conviction into my soul and walking in the walk of faith instead of walking the how I think I should have and acting how I think I should act. God wants you. God wants you to live a consecrated lifestyle toward him. God wants you to sharpen the sword. God wants you to sharpen the sword by reading the word, allowing the truth of that word to come into your spirit. Allow the truth of that word to bring division between spirit and soul. Allow the truth of the word to break forth, bring division between the bone and the marrow, the flesh, and what brings life to the flesh, the spirit. God wants you to bring a line of demarcation, but you will never do that if you're not a student of the word of God. You'll never do that if you don't keep picking up the sword of the spirit in your life daily and saying, God, you're more than able. God, in you, I can do all things. God, you can turn my stick into a serpent. God, you can cause my authority to arise in through your word. God, when I speak, let it be full of potency of the anointing of God on my heart. Hallelujah. But we can grow dull and blunt. It's less effective in their life because they're not constantly in the word enough for it to stay sharp through its conviction. They ignore the work of the Spirit in bringing truth to their soul. This is what happens when you get dull of hearing. All of a sudden, you become your own God. All of a sudden, you become your own measure of what you think is right and wrong. As he yields his sword of the truth of the Word of God in my life, sometimes, Sometimes I can get in a situation through whatever circumstance that I become dull of hearing. And all of a sudden my relationship becomes a religion. All of a sudden I'm no longer yearning for His presence. All of a sudden I'm no longer interested in reading the Word because something has happened to me. Something has caused me to drop what God has given me. Something has caused me not to listen and act by the truth of the Spirit's conviction in my life. Hallelujah. He wants to bring this separation. Turn with me to Numbers 11, verse 4. Numbers 11, verse 4. I lose my edge in kingdom living. I can lose my edge in kingdom living. And all of a sudden, I've become yielded to intense cravings, causing me to look back. Numbers 4, 11, verse 4. Numbers 11, verse 4. Numbers 11, verse 4. I've gone past it. Numbers 11, verse 4. Should have had it marked. Pray this really blesses you, this word. I was so blessed when I was preparing this. It says this. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense cravings. So the children of Israel also wept again, saying, who will give me meat to eat? The mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. When there's a mixture in my life, it will cause me to hunger for intense cravings of the things I shouldn't hunger for. When there's a mixture in my life, or when I hang around the wrong mixture of people, it will cause things to arise in my spirit. And if I'm not in the Word, keeping my sword sharp, it will cause me to get dull in hearing. It will cause me to long for what they long for. It will cause me to do what they are doing because I'm refusing to allow the sword of the Spirit of God, His sword, to circumcise my flesh, to circumcise my heart. Hallelujah. We can't afford to have mixture. We can't afford to have mixture. If you're for me or you're against me, there was no gray area in Jesus. If you're for me, do what I say. There is no gray, there's no in between with Jesus. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. It says the servant had an axe. He wanted to build something. He was moved to build something. Elijah says, do it. And as he was doing it, he had an axe that was borrowed. And the axe head fell in the water. And he was looking and looking. He said, alas, master, I've lost my axe head. He had lost his edge. He had lost that which was borrowed to him. And you know, the gifts of the Spirit are only borrowed to us. The gifts of the Spirit are not my gifts. They're His gifts. They're borrowed to me. And we can lose our edge. We can lose what has been given to us. Alas, master, it fell in the water. It actually fell into a stream. And this stream speaks of humanity. Sometimes humanity will rob me and cause my edge to sink. And sometimes through humanity, I can lose my edge through pain, hurt, brokenness, being mistreated. I can lose my edge. Being in a place where people have abused me, I can lose my edge. Being in a place of hurt and pain to a point where it turns into unforgiveness, bitterness, anger and resentment, I've lost my edge. I've lost my edge. I was in a place of doing something. I was in a place of operating in the kingdom purpose, building something, building things in the kingdom of God. But something caused me to lose my edge. What is it in your life, maybe, that has caused you to lose your edge? What is it in your life that's caused you to lose the edge of passion? caused you to lose the edge of serving, causing you to lose the edge of ministering to the Lord, losing the edge of seeking His Word and loving on His Word and loving His presence? What is it? Is there something that has caused you to drop your edge? Is there something that's caused you to make it slip out of your hand? Glory to God. Well, I want to tell you something. Elijah threw in a stick on the water. The stick speaks of a type of the cross. And it caused the supernatural to happen. The axe head floated. God can cause something to happen in your life and restore your edge when you apply the cross to your situation. I want to say that again. God can restore back into your hand, back into your hand, that which might have been lost. For whatever cause, reason, pain, situation, it really doesn't matter. It's lost. But God can cause the miraculous and cause the impossible to happen. An iron head floated back to the top. An iron head floated. I mean, against all physics, against all science, an iron head floats to the top. Then Elisha said something to the man. And I want to prophesy to the house of the Lord. I want to prophesy to West Point City. I want to prophesy to our nation. It's time for the church to pick it up for yourself. Come on now. Stop waiting on God to keep placing things in your hand. If you've lost something, take it to the cross. If you've lost something, apply the power of the cross to your life. If you've lost something, say, God, this pained me, this hurt me. God, I've lost my edge. God, I've lost my joy. God, I've lost my peace. God, I've lost it. I've lost my desire, my passion. I've lost it. God, I need to sharpen my edge afresh. And guess what? God will allow the power of the cross to bring restoration back to your soul if you allow Him. But you've got to pick it up for yourself. Glory to God. Pick it up for yourself, He said. God will cause the impossible to happen, but He won't place it in your hands. Taking the sword of the Spirit. I've got to take it. I've got to pick it up. I've got to move in the power of the anointing of God. I've got to walk in the conviction of the Spirit when He starts circumcising my heart, circumcising my ear, circumcising my eye. I've got to walk. I've got to allow it to apply it in my life. Hallelujah. Pick it up for yourself. You might have lost your edge, lost what you had, but the cross can restore and present it to you again. So can you pick it up and continue on what God intended for you to build? Can you pick it up and continue in what God intends you to build? It will be for the glory of the kingdom. It will be for the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it in heaven. He won't give it to you to build your own. He won't give it to you to build a ministry. He won't give it to you to make you look good. He won't give it to you just to give you peace. He will give it to you for a purpose, for you were born for the same purpose, to bring forth kingdom life, kingdom living, kingdom conviction on earth. Hallelujah. God has placed something in your hand. And here's the question I believe. What has He placed in your hand? What is it? What is it? What is it? I believe there's an opportunity here this morning. Say, God, I take my despair. I take my pain. I take my hurt. I take my brokenness. I take that which has caused me to lose my edge. Rob me of my joy. Rob me of my peace. Rob me, Father, of longing for the Word of God. Rob me. God, I apply the cross. And Lord, You will cause the impossible to happen. And Lord, I pick up that which You've given me afresh in the name of Jesus. Lord, I dedicate myself and consecrate myself afresh and the power and the anointing of God. I thank You, Holy Spirit. You've granted me the sword of the Spirit, which is all power, which is all authority in Jesus' name, to see the pharaohs of this land. And hear me, we are in a day where we are fighting pharaohs. We're in a day that people think they're kings, that people walk in such power and authority that really isn't their right. Hallelujah. Bringing nations, states down just by the matter of few words. Come on now, we're fighting devils. I'm not blaming a man. We're fighting principalities and powers. We're fighting pharaohs of the land. Glory to God. And it's time the church started getting the sword of the Spirit, speaking the word, not my opinion, not what I think, not what should be, not because I have a fear, but what the word of God says. Hallelujah. The word will set the captive free. The word will bring deliverance. The word will circumcise the heart. The word will change the hearts of the kings, the Bible says. Glory to God. And he will break down their scepters, break down their rods. So there's only one rod of authority in the kingdom, which is called the rod of God, which is placed in every born-again believer's hand. You have the power. You have the authority. You've just got to pick it up. You've just got to let go. You've just got to say, God, I release them. I release that person that hurt me. I release that person that's done bad to me. I release it. God, restore back my edge. Restore back my edge. Restore back my edge. And as you read the word, as you dedicate yourself to study, as you dedicate yourself to prayer, as you dedicate yourself setting yourself aside for the kingdom of God and listening to the voice of God, hear me, all of a sudden, a sharpened sword, which is an offensive weapon, can do great damage. But a blunt sword will take a lot more effort to do anything. Amen? And sometimes a blunt sword, we don't see the results that we think, and we get disappointed and disillusioned. It's all because we're not studying the word of God. But I want you to know this morning, God never ever leaves you empty-handed. God never ever leaves you empty-handed. He has placed something in your hand in Jesus' name. Amen. So Father, we just pray right now that God, there'd be a stirring of the conviction of your spirit. Lord, bring forth a division of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, thoughts and intents of heart. Lord, change me, mold me, shape me. Father, today is this day that, Father, I apply the cross to every situation in my life that's holding me back. I prophesy of a West Point City Church. We are not of that spirit. We are not of that spirit. But Lord, you're bringing forth sons and daughters and disciples of the King in this hour like never before. And Father, we choose to pick up your ways. We choose it, Father. Whether that circumcising, my God, brings pain, whether there's a blooding, whether whatever it is, God, I thank you that, Lord, I will not die, but God, I will be changed from a glory to a glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to tell some Christians here this morning, you can't just keep eating one meal. Amen? You just can't keep eating one meal. So many people just want to read the word to see what God's going to give them. And he does give. He does. But if all you're doing is waiting on the Lord to get, you'll be grossly disappointed. God gives you a balanced meal. I remember as a kid, when I was a young man, maybe 8 or 9, and my mum made this roast dinner, and it had some Brussels sprouts on it. I hated Brussels sprouts. In fact, I hated the color green. I wouldn't eat greens. Then one day, my dad, I just pushed it aside. I said, no, I just ate the potatoes. I love potatoes. Ate my potatoes, and it was all these veggies left, and I said, I'm finished. He said, okay. I said, can I get up? Yeah, get up. And I walked away thinking that I had a victory. The next morning, I said, oh, what's for breakfast? And in front of me was this warmed up Brussels sprouts, beans, cabbage. And I looked at him. He said, that's what's you're going to eat until it will keep presented to you until you eat it. I really now love Brussels sprouts. I love my greens. I only wanted the diet that I thought that was fit. But they understood that I had to have a bit of everything to get the nutrients and everything I needed to have to live a wholesome life. Your God knows exactly what you need. Sometimes he'll make you eat of a meal that can bring conviction, that can bring sometimes pain, that can bring sometimes pain because you have to face something. Sometimes it'll cause you to eat of humility. It'll sometimes cause you to eat of I don't know what else, to be honest. Humility, and also to be patient, to be kind, to walk in peace. Sometimes I can't keep getting what I want to get because I want it. It doesn't work that way. He wants you to have a balanced life. Amen. And when he brings conviction through the sword of the Spirit in my soul, is really bringing me a balanced life. God bless you, West Point City Church. Love you. We'll see you next week. Amen.